What is it about the blues? I mean, like, somewhere along the line, like you're saying, the shit was happening in front of you when you were young, you know? But, what is it about the blues? I mean, you didn't, like, stop playing blues at one point. You go, oh, well, I'm gonna play, you know, I'm gonna learn how to play heavy metal. Or, I mean, you play blues because you love the blues. And what is it about the blues to you that makes it just feel so good to play and get better or whatever?
It just sounded more like the real thing than something else did. It's not like I automatically went, well, this is cooler than this,
right?
You know, or this is more emotion. You know, when I heard it, it just killed me. Mm-hmm. You know, it slayed me.
Right.
There was just not a question. Hearing it different ways, you know, like from all these different ways I've been talking about, English blues boom to the, like, authorized recordings and, you know, bootleg stuff, you know, of everybody you can dream of. Just listening and listening and listening, and the more I heard, the better I liked what I heard.
And how has the blues changed for you?
Well, in the fairly recent years, in some ways I felt like I've gotten more in touch with it. But it's usually when I go and see somebody, when I go see somebody that's just used to playing a small club, that's not used to being running around in a fancy tour bus and mm-hmm. playing in arenas, there's a difference there. On one side of the coin, it may look like, okay, well, the guy sounds that way, so we can't sell him. On the other side of the coin is, I've been sold, so I can't sound like that, you know? And every time I get to hear somebody sound real, once again, I get the chance to come home. It makes me want to play that way,
right?
Even that much more, and find a way where I can play that way and still snicker when somebody says, record sold. I guess the first people that made me go crazy all the... It was kind of a wrap-up of deal of, okay, of Lonnie Mack, of Albert King. It's kind of, it's a real weird mixture, because it was everything from my generation to Muddy Waters,
right,
at the same time,
right,
you know? Because Jimmy was, I mean, it kind of goes back to Jimmy, my brother Jimmy. Right. He was bringing home all these records, all these different records. And it might have been because I was a little kid, but it seemed like all at the same time he brought home the Eric Clapton, the Bruise Breakers, Howlin' Wolf, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, and the Beatles, and, you know.
It was like one big
it was like It was like, here comes Jimmy with the record world, you know.
Right, with the history of recorded music,
yeah,
under his arm.
And knew what he was doing. Somewhere real soon down the line, Jimmy brings home this Jimi Hendrix record, and we both went, you know,
right.
What's this?
You know? Was that all you experienced? Like, when was it?
It was, well, that and a 45 that he brought home, and I've got him kind of confused about which was what.
Right.
I'll just never forget that. All at the same time, there was all this influence, and Jimmy was like, God. I mean, look. By the time I was 12, Jimmy was gone, and I mean, here he was. He was like about the hottest guitar player I knew of, and the hottest guitar player in Texas that lots of people had heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 15, and I think he started playing when he was 12.
Right.
You know. I mean, if you want to know what made me go crazy with it, watching that, and then it's not trying to outdo Jimmy, but go, shit. I mean, what do you do but pick up the ball and run? You know.
Right. Right.
And it's not trying to pass him, it's not trying to keep up with him. It's more like, wow. Mm-hmm. Look what Big Brother stumbled onto. You know, a lot of people seem to try to make it look like, a lot of people tend to feel like we're trying to beat each other out of something. And it's not that
you
at all.
You and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not that at all. It's like, I saw him get real exciting, not just excited, but real exciting
mm-hmm.
with something.
Right.
And it excited me.
Yeah,
I didn't know what else to do.
What were some of the tunes, if you can remember, you know, some of the slow blueses, and what were some of the things that helped you develop your style?
Albert King records, for one thing. B.B. King Live at the Regal. Albert King, Born Under a Bad Sign, I guess it was called first.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it King of the Blues Guitar? I think it was Born Under a Bad Sign, is what they were calling it at the time. I remember seeing, believe it or not, Albert King on TV
mm-hmm.
doing Born Under a Bad Sign, and I was like, yes.
Yeah. Like Albert King, you know, I mean, just play some of the things that you picked up from him.
The main thing that usually gets me is about Albert King is either just, for one thing, when he goes. So he's got it backwards.
Right, yeah.
You know,
he's pulling down.
He got six. you're going like this. Right. For, this is the only way you can do it right-handed. I've got one guitar that I go back and forth on, whether it's tuned this way or backwards. And it's fun.
Yeah.
And for one thing, it's my, a lot more evident how everything ties together for me. For me, it makes more sense backwards. Playing strung upside down makes more sense when I watch it. But I learned how to play strung this way.
Right.
So it's more natural. You know, there's advantages to both ways.
Right, right.
I would just like to learn well enough how to do them both where I could do both whenever.
Right. Right. Like there, that little thing, you know. Like, and then pulling back down, yeah.
I watch my brother a lot. Right. That's where that came from. A lot of it's what I play is what ended up being automatic stuff. Like over the years, it just kind of faded into doing that. Like I hardly know how to go without going, you know.
Right.
A lot of the stuff I don't know how to. It's like I don't know how to stop without going.
Right.
You
right.
know. It's like stop the train. You know. My favorite time to practice though is sitting watching TV.
Uh-huh.
Or like watching Australian football with the sound off, because you know, like they'll be, they don't show the ball, they show the people waiting on it.
Really?
Like American football, you don't see the ball going through the air and then where it's going. You see somebody kick the ball and then they show the guys at the other end of the field standing there and they're like in a big clump. They're looking up, you know. It's a great time to go.
Yeah, right.
You know,
waiting for the thing
and they
to
drop
land.
It, you know, right. You know, until they pick it up and then it's. And then somebody's gonna drop it sooner or later, you know.
Right.
Something's gonna happen.
Right. So you did you know when you were young that you were actually gonna be playing soundtracks to Australian football when you got older?
No. Not at all.
Do you have rhythm guitar behind most of your solos on the record or no? You don't?
No. On Scratch and Sniff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only ones. What I ended up playing for the solo was this. Was this based off of this? Okay, that was really.
Do that slower because I'm gonna put that.
That's what it's based off of anyway. And that was the way this song was. It was either going to be Scratch and Sniff or House's Rocket was going to start.
Right.
Okay.
Which tune do you end up using that on?
Well, I used the. On Scratch and Sniff, I used parts of it. Okay, there was these two songs. I was wanting to use. And then go to the. I thought it would fit in with a rock and roll song, you know.
Right.
You know. Coming in just, you know. And it just ended up where we never could decide which one to put it in. So it didn't make it on either one.
Oh, you're kidding.
So when we were doing this solo for Scratch and Sniff, I tried to play this other stuff and I hated it. Hated what I was playing.
Right.
And I went, let me go try this one more time.
Yeah.
So I just turned on all the gadgets I could find, including a wah-wah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's when the solo starts with the wah-wah, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And started playing that, you know,
uh-huh.
Basically.
Or is that the solo from Shape of Things? The Yardbirds version?
No, believe it or not. Believe it or not, it was something that I was trying to put to this song. River of Paradise.
Yeah.
It was like a. Let's see, where is it? I forget where it was, though, that I was trying to do it.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, definitely.
It was kind of like to me, it's, it keeps sounding like Star Trek or something. Let's see.
Yeah.
It was something that was coming out of my Gibson. I sit there at home and go, you know. And I decided to calm down a little bit when we recorded.